Joshua chapter 1, we're going to be preaching. It's a part two of what we were preaching this morning. And boy, I sound a whole lot different from what I did a while ago. Probably because I'm on the mic. And so Joshua chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 5. It says, I'll go ahead and read this. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And he's talking to Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance to the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua is getting the command from God to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise, into the land of Canaan. One of the things that sticks out to me in this passage of Scripture is that Joshua served Moses. And because Joshua served Moses, Joshua became the leader to lead them into the land of promise. And that's the reason why I tell people, you know, if people want to be leaders, they want to lead, whatever, either if it's in a church or wherever it may be, if they're not willing to serve, well, they're not leaders. And I tell them, I say, look, we don't teach you how to be a leader. We teach you how to be a servant. Because the only way you can be a leader is to be a servant. And that was the example that Jesus gave us. You know, he said, I came not to be ministered to be served, but I came to serve, to minister. And that is what being a minister, a believer, is all about. It's all about interceding for people and being there for them. Giving them the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I think a lot of times we miss it, you know. If we ask, one of the things that I can tell is someone has a servant mentality, and you might get a laugh out of this one. Can you stack those chairs? Or can you maybe vacuum or something like that? Just something little, small. And if they have a problem with it and they don't want to do it, you know, that kind of gives me an idea of whether or not they are leadership material, whether they want to lead. And so if you're wanting to be a leader, you've got to understand that whatever needs to be done, you take team ownership. Do y'all remember hearing me talk about that here a few weeks ago? I don't know if you remember. But team ownership is where you take a waiter, a waitress, waiter, waitress, either one, and if they can't get to that table and that glass needs to be filled, well, the hostess who is sitting the people will take control of that and say, hey, let me go ahead and let me ask this person, hey, do you need your glass filled? In other words, it's not that the waiter or waitress wasn't doing their job. It's just they may have been overrun by a lot of work, a lot of people. And so the hostess sees that, and the hostess will walk over there and help her out, and that's what you call team ownership. And that's the way it is with the church. You know, if you have, let's say, youth ministry. Let's use some examples here. Let's create some scenarios. You have youth ministry. Well, if let's say somebody from Sunday school can't be here, well, what if someone actually came from the youth to actually fill in for someone in Sunday school? You know, and not have the attitude of, well, that's their thing. That's what they do. I don't need to do that. Well, wherever there's a lack where they can't help, we come together and we're there for each other. That's called team ownership. You know, you take a battalion, a regiment, and they're going out in the battlefield. They're going to fight. You know, if the sergeant or whoever's in charge, when they tell them, say, look, hey, I need you to cover my back or I need you to do this, you know, that's expected. You're expected to do that. And they're not going to turn on each other. You know, they're in that together because they have a common enemy. You know, because they understand that they all have the same enemy, and they are there together, fighting together, and they got one goal. And I think that's something that we need to adopt in the church, is that team ownership, or we're in it together because we have a common enemy. And if you'll notice, a common enemy is what brings people together as one, honest. And what would you think would happen if we had a common, if we understood that we have a common enemy? And I know I may be preaching to the choir this evening, maybe preaching to the choir, but if people would realize they have a common enemy, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, power, spiritual darkness, when you understand that, man, you'll do whatever it takes for the youth ministry to prosper. You'll do whatever it takes for the children's ministry to prosper. You see what I'm saying? We come together and we help each other, and it's called team ownership. It just doesn't make any sense to in the church if youth ministry said to children's ministry, well, that's children's ministry. My ministry is a little bit more important right now. And that's the wrong mentality. It's totally the wrong mentality. We try praise and worship. You know, we do everything we can to help each other, even with media ministry, which Dennis does a really good job. Dennis and Jordan, they do a good job with the website, sound, and everything. And so it's important for us to come together and serve each other. Because when we serve, here's another point. If I'm not willing to serve you, then I'm not honoring you. And if I don't honor you, then I am putting a hindrance on the gifts that God gave you and that God gave me. It's putting a hindrance on it, and it's blocking the flow of the Holy Spirit. But if I'm willing to serve you and you're willing to serve me, that is when things begin to happen in the body of Christ, because we're taking team ownership. We're coming together. We're saying, look, this needs to be done. We're going to serve each other. Not only are we going to serve each other, but we're going to serve sinners. We're going to serve those that don't know Jesus. And so this is one of the great things that I get out of this. And if you read early in the book of Deuteronomy, Numbers and Deuteronomy, Joshua is following Moses. He's with Moses. There was one place where Joshua and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was Hur. I believe that was the name, H-U-R. And they were holding up Moses' hands, and they were they were fighting the enemy. And y'all probably know the story. And as long as Moses' hands was up, the victory was being won, because Moses was so tired and fatigued. And as long as somebody was holding Moses' hands up, there was victory. And so that's where we got to come together. Like, if something needs to be done, or if something, and if we're asked to do something, we don't just need to ignore it and just say it's not important, you know? Like maybe the hospital ministry. All these ministries are important. And I've seen it done before where people will just kind of degrade it and say, well, this is not as important as this one. It's all equally important. You know, it's very important. This is the church. This is the body of Christ. And I pray that God would give us a Joshua anointing where we'll be able to serve each other with no strings attached, where we're not expecting something in return, but we're willing to serve. And when people see that, their lives will be changed. So everybody say serve. Serve. So I want to serve you, man. I want to serve you, brother. I want to serve y'all. And I can hear some of y'all say this right now. Then wash my feet. Wash my feet. And so, and by the way, we may do it. We may do that. I'm going to pray about it. We may do that one evening. I know people have reserve about touching other people's feet, you know, washing them. But it takes humility to do that. To get down and wash somebody else's feet, that takes some humility, doesn't it? Okay, everybody say serve. All right, apply that to your life right now. All right, verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Do y'all see that promise? He says, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I'm going to be with you. I believe if we serve like Joshua, I believe if we understand who God is and claim that promise, everybody say claim the promise. He says, I will not leave you or forsake you. I claim that. I believe that with all of my heart. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Well, I believe that. I believe that if people try to criticize, try to destroy the ministry, try to destroy the church, try to destroy the body of Christ, it's not going to happen. Because the Bible says right here in verse 5, no man shall be, if you're doing right, if you're obeying the Lord, that is. You know, if you're walking the path of righteousness, no man shall be able to stand before you. It's what the Bible says. So I don't have to walk with fear because the Lord's presence is with me. It's what he told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you, Joshua. And this verse, you know, I think it's personally, I can apply this personally to my life. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Well, that's what I believe for my life. No person, if a person tries to destroy, tries to tear you down, listen, if you're walking, if you're obeying God, don't try to defend yourself so much because it'll worry you to death. Somebody tries to criticize you, I know. It'll worry you to death. Like, oh my gosh, how am I going to prove? I'm trying to prove. I got to prove I'm right. I got to prove this. I got to prove that. Listen, if you're right, if you're living right, you ain't got nothing to prove because the truth will stand and that criticism will go away probably the next day. You see what I'm saying? You know, a lie doesn't have, a lie is like a table with no legs. You know, you got to keep putting a leg under the table, keep putting a leg. You got to tell another lie to back up another lie. And if you're telling, and if you're living right, if you're obeying the Lord, listen, you don't have to worry about the criticisms and stuff. You can just stand, the ridicule, you can just stand firm, stand for the truth and say, look, I'm living right. I told you the truth. And if you don't like me for it, then, you know, I hate that, but, you know, I've got to tell you the truth. This is the truth. This is what God says. This is the Word of God. And, you know, and I'm telling you, the enemy will try to destroy you. If you try to do something for God, the enemy will come in and try to do something to hinder you from doing it. I'm telling you. Whether it be in the mind, whether it be through another person, it'll happen. And that's where you got to keep on obeying the Lord. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. You will reap. All right, verse 6, it says, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance to the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. He tells us to be strong. He tells us to be courageous. How many's ever seen the movie Courageous? It's a good movie, isn't it? When I watched that movie, I thought, man, these people are courageous. And I thought, we need to be fearless. This is what I get at from this verse. Be strong. Be of good courage. The reason why how can we be strong? And how can we be of good courage? Well, for one thing, not only does he command us to be strong and of good courage, but he's actually empowering us to be strong and of good courage. It's one thing to command somebody to do it, but it's another thing to empower them to actually keep the command. Because in verse 5, he says, I will not leave you or forsake you. See, if God is there, if God's presence is with you, you can be strong. You can be of good courage. What comes to your mind when I say courage? No fear, right? Fearless. You're bold. You're willing to stand against the enemy. You're willing to stand against opposition. No matter what. Even if it comes from a friend or even from a loved one. Unfortunately, sometimes. But you're willing to tell the truth. And say, look, I've got to stand on this truth. And unfortunately, the enemy will blind other people thinking that you're trying to attack them or something. But it's not. It's not you attacking them. It's you trying to give them correction, trying to tell them something. Look, you got to listen. You got to listen to me, please. You know, if you'll just listen to this, it's the Word of God. It's what God's saying. And the enemy will come in and try to twist what you're saying. And that's where we need to depend on God. So, therefore, we can be strong. Because if God is with you, then you don't have to fear, and you don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to try to defend yourself all the time. How many's ever met somebody always try to defend themselves? I met somebody like that, me. I don't know if you can actually meet yourself, but anyways. But be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. We talked about inheritance this morning, didn't we? Well, we're going to share our inheritance together. Why? Because he'll never leave us or forsake us. As he was with Moses, So he shall be with Jordan. So shall he be with Tommy. Every one of us. We can be strong and of good courage. You feel like you need to embark on a ministry? You're doing something new? Be strong and of good courage. You're starting a new job? You're not sure how it's going to work out? Be strong and of good courage. How can you be strong and of good courage? Because he'll never leave you. And he'll never forsake you. His presence is there. He's with me. Wherever I go, he's with me. In verse 7, it says, only be strong. And he tells us twice, only be strong and very courageous. Be bold, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, okay, that you may prosper wherever you go. Now, apparently, it's pretty obvious, God wants us to prosper. And I believe that God wants us to prosper in every area of our lives. I really do. I believe that because that's what the Bible says right here. And that if we don't turn from God's word, this is what I get out of the verse. And if y'all are wondering what I'm looking at, I can see the Bible verse up there too. So y'all probably wondered, what's he looking at? Well, it's back there on the wall. But if we don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left, what is that telling us? What does that mean? Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. That means obey. Be obedient to God. If you know better, then don't do it. Right? I mean that's putting it in hillbilly terms, isn't it? You know, layman's terms. You know, if you know better, don't do it. You know, if this is what God's telling you, if God is telling you to do it, then do it. The voice of God. And the Bible says that if we keep his word, see, it's hard to obey the word if you don't know the word. And a lot of times we don't take the time to know the word. But if you know the word and you don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left, then you will prosper. If obedience to the word takes priority over everything else, whether it's if it feels good, do it. That's the motto. That's the motto of the culture today. You know, if it feels good, do it. You know all the sayings. If we ignore that and obey God and make obedience to God the number one priority, God will prosper us wherever we go. Whether I'm at Chesthuey, right? And I don't want to say this to provoke people or anything, but let's say God moved me, and I plan on staying here for a long time until the Lord comes back. Hallelujah! Wouldn't that be wonderful? But let's create the scenario. Well, wherever we go, listen, God's going to prosper us. It doesn't matter. I mean, if the enemy comes, it's not saying that the enemy won't come against you. I mean, because he will. He will come against you and try to put obstacles in your way and try to hinder you. But the Bible says that if we obey his word wherever we go, God is going to prosper us if we obey, if we walk in obedience to God's word. If you know better, don't do it. If you have to hide it, then it's probably wrong. Amen, church. Right? And we're really good salesmen, aren't we? We sell stuff to ourselves. You know, we're like, well, I can justify it. It's okay. You know, it's fine. And I had someone, I might as well bring this up. I had someone ask me, you know, about drinking, you know, and they asked me, well, is one beer enough? One glass of alcohol enough or whatever? And I said, well, to tell you the truth, you'd be better off not to have any. You know, just don't even fool with it at all. Because you don't want to flirt with something that could overtake your life and cause you to go into a life of drunkenness, you know, alcohol. And I hear them say, well, I'm not an alcoholic. I didn't call you an alcoholic. I didn't call you one. You know, but they think they're exempt from that stuff. But you're still in the flesh, guys. You're still in the flesh. And what would you think? What would you think? Let me ask you this question. What would you think if I just got up here preaching? Man, I preached a hard message, and I'm drenching with sweat, you know. I'm sweating under my arms. You know, I got sweat, and I'm like, God loves you. And there was a lot, and you all was like, man, that was a great message. Hallelujah. And then I holler back and say, hey, would you like to go for a beer? It just don't sound right, does it? So that's the reason why, you know, if that doesn't sound right, then we really don't have any business saying, hey, do you want to go out for a cold one? Even if it's just one or social drinking. Anyways, I just brought that up. Popped in my mind, figured I'd share it with you. So, all right, if you know better, don't do it. And if you think it'll lead you into sin, if you think it'll lead you into wrongdoing, run the other way, because it's going to take you further than what you thought. Sin will do that. You know what? Here's another reason why people sin. Because the consequences are never immediate. It's only like two or three weeks down the road. It's like, oh my gosh. Or the next morning. You know, the consequences are never immediate. It's always, you know, this is great, man. This is great. I'm having the best time of my life, you know. And then like the next day or even a year later, you know, sometimes the fruit of a sin doesn't even bear until years later down the road. Honest to God. And that's the reason why it becomes easy sometimes for people who don't understand that. If they don't understand that, man, they'll just keep on sinning, keep on sinning, keep on sinning, not understanding. Man, there's going to be some consequences for those things. And they're not immediate. Most of the time, from my experience and from what I've seen, from what I've observed, sin does not give you an immediate consequence. And the fruit does not bear until later on down the road. That's the reason why it's so easy for people to do that. And that's why God tells us, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Obey God. Make obedience to God your priority. Because if you love God, you'll obey Him. All right? A lot of times, some people get it backwards, don't they? They say, well, I love God, but I think I can do whatever I want to do and still be okay. Well, it's not true. If you have a genuine love for God, the wrong is going to be repugnant to you. You know, it's going to be wrong. Wrong is going to be wrong to you. Let me say it like that. It's going to be wrong. You don't want anything to do with it. Now, it doesn't mean that your flesh might tell you something else, because you're with your flesh all the time. And your flesh may rise up and, you know, say something. You know, your unrenewed mind. That's why you got to renew your mind with the Word of God. And there's a tug of war. And surely by now you should know the difference between the voice of the flesh and the voice of God, the voice of your spirit, right? And a lot of times I've heard some people, which I don't like to use this analogy all the time, but you got the devil over here on this shoulder, right? And you got the angel or the Lord over here on this shoulder, which it's not. I don't know if that's the right analogy to use, but I think it helps. I think it helps us in the sense of who to listen to. Do we listen? Do we listen to God, or do we listen to the devil? I mean, it's pretty simple, isn't it? It's pretty simple. And sometimes we do things and not even realize it's sin until afterwards. Like, oh man, the Lord's really convicted me of this. And let me tell you something. Y'all need to really thank God for conviction. Because I see people, man, they do things wrong. They don't think nothing of it. They just go through it and be like, what do you mean? What do you mean I did wrong? What do you mean I cussed? Everybody does it. Everybody talks this way. I watch the movies. You know, I do all this. Everybody cusses, you know. Everybody has a bad mouth. You know, they do things, steal, don't think nothing of it. And the Lord says, this stuff, and I know this is basic stuff. I know this is basic stuff, and I'm telling you. But the Bible says, and I hope a lot of people listen to this audio sermon, the Bible says if we obey God and do what, if we walk in the light that we know. Y'all catch that? If we walk in the light of what we know, if you know better, man, you obey God. You do what God's called you to do. Now, at first, when you obey God, it may not be pleasant at first. It may not be pleasant when everybody you're hanging out with doesn't love God, when they're not serving the Lord. It may not be pleasant at first, but I'm telling you, it's better to obey God and be unpleasant for just a little while than to commit a sin and have pleasure just for a little while. Because the unpleasant stuff is coming down the road. It's coming. You reap what you sow. Amen, church. Amen. You reap what you sow. That's why we always need to be cautious. Obey the Lord, right? Obey the Lord. Next verse, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What's on the other side of your Jordan? What's on the other side? Some of you say, well, the promises of God. That's what's on the other side of Jordan. Well, I believe the only way to cross Jordan is to actually obey God's word. And when we're walking in true obedience to God in every area of our life, when we know better and we obey God, I believe that the Lord will make our way prosperous and successful. I really believe that. And a lot of times we may try to equate prosperity with the amount of possessions that you have or with the wealth or whatever. But don't demote God's prosperity like that, because God's spiritual prosperity is greater than that. Now, I believe it's okay to have things as long as things don't have you. That's the thing we have to look at, as long as things don't have you. And I think the Lord wants to prosper us. Of course the Lord wants us to prosper in our lives. He wants us to prosper, because it's through Him blessing us that we're able to bless other people. That's the whole reason. That's the whole reason of being blessed. Being blessed is not about you. Hello. It's about blessing other people and helping other people. So we have this promise. He commands us three times. We have read it three times. He commands us, be strong. Be courageous. How can we be strong and courageous? Because He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's always there with us. I can be bold. I can be strong in the Lord. Whatever it is, if I have to, even if I'm the only one standing up for what I think is right, God's with me. I can be bold no matter what everybody else says. Even if I'm the only one left standing, whether it's on the job, whether it's a career, I'm going to stand up for what's right. Have y'all seen that that scene on the movie Courageous where the employer asked the employee to do something wrong? Have y'all seen that? And they tested him, because they really weren't going to ask him that. This is just going to see what he's going to do. Well, he was a man of conviction. Everybody said conviction. He was a man of conviction, and he had this, how am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to provide for my children? Well, integrity meant a lot to him. So he was a man of integrity. He was courageous. He was bold. He was brave. And he said, look, I can't do this because I know better. And because he did that, guess what happened? He was promoted. Because promotion comes from God. Listen, God is going to take care of you. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care if you're having a hard time, whether it be financially, whatever it is. I don't care. Listen, obey God. Put God first. God will not let you down. Will not let you down. He will see you through, because He's with you wherever you go, and He will make your way prosperous, and He will make your way successful. Do I believe in success? Of course I do. It's in the Word of God. Do I believe in prosperity? Of course I do. It's in the Word of God. You know, we can't just say prosperity is something that man made up, or prosperity is something that, or success is just a man-made thing. No, God wants you to be successful. He wants you to be successful in every area of your life. You know why? Because you are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you, listen, if God, think about this, if God is wanting you to represent Him, then don't you think God will want to prosper you so you can adequately represent Him? I think so. I think God would want to prosper you. And so this is not me preaching. This is what the Word of God says. You take it, leave it, apply it to your life, whatever you want to do. But if God is with you, He's going to prosper you. Why does Sam Berger say it? Because God said it. And it's found in the book of Joshua chapter 1. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm done. Praise the Lord. We can come up here and pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Be strong and be very courageous. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you.